Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about the assurance of salvation. Is it okay for a Christian to be assured of his or her salvation? Or is that presumptuous, arrogant, prideful? Well, a lot of churches and denominations who would call themselves Christian would deny the doctrine of the assurance of salvation. Catholics? No way. They are not assured of their salvation. And they make that very clear. Orthodox? No way. They are not assured of their salvation, and they make that very clear. Unfortunately, even in many Protestant groups, they also say, no, we're not assured of our salvation. That would be presumptuous of us to say that we are. And they would even say that that could cause them to not be saved. And so we teach the doctrine of the assurance of salvation. We teach that we should know that we are assured of our salvation. We teach that God wants us to know that we are assured of our salvation. Did you hear what I just said? God wants his people to be assured of their salvation. Well, how do we know that? Go to 1 John chapter 5. Why did John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in verse 13, write this letter, this letter to believers? Well, he tells us. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you see it? Again, God the Holy Spirit obviously inspired John to write this letter. God the Holy Spirit inspired John to make that statement, that John wrote these things. What things? About eternal life. And that those who believe, truly believe, truly are regenerated, those who believe in the name of the Son of God, John says, I want you to know, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. For instance, there are two ways that you can know that you have eternal life. There's what is called objective assurance and subjective assurance. Objective assurance. How can we know that we have eternal life? Well, you read God's objective word of truth. What does God say? Well, stay in chapter 5. Look at verse 1. This is God's objective truth. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, is born again, right? And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Look at verse 4. I'll stay in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you see God's objective truth? Hop over to verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God, who does not believe God's objective truth, has made God out to be a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. What is that testimony? Verses 11 and 12. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. Do you see God's objective truth here? Again, verse 13, that's why John said, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So one of the ways you can be assured of your salvation, look at God's truth, what he says about salvation. Do you believe God's objective truth about salvation? Well, it's clear here in God's holy word that he wants his children to know that they have eternal life, right? He doesn't want us worrying, wondering, and wavering. He wants us to know. Well, how are we going to know? Objective assurance. What does God say about eternal life? He says, number one, it is in his Son. He says it is a gift. And he says, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for the free gift of eternal life, this is the testimony of God. He who has the Son has, not will have, has eternal life. Right? Now, to deny that which God has clearly said is to call God a liar. Because scripture says God wants you to know and to have assurance of your salvation. And to say, well, no, that's presumptuous, that's arrogant, that's prideful. We can't know. Wait a second. This is the testimony that God has given us. And if you say you can't know, if you say you can't be assured, you're calling God a liar. Do you see it? It is not presumptuous, nor arrogant or prideful to say, I know that I have eternal life. Now, it would be presumptuous, it would be arrogant, it would be prideful to say, I know I have eternal life because I'm such a good person. Because that's not what the Bible says. God's objective truth nowhere says that you are saved through your own good works or good efforts. But scripture is very clear. God's objective truth is very clear. He who has the Son, he who has trusted in who Jesus is, God the Son who became a man, he who has trusted in what scripture says about the virgin birth of Christ, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, the perfect sinless life of Christ, fulfilling all righteousness for us, the sacrificial substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross, where our sins were placed on him, God's wrath was poured out on him, he died the death that we deserve, he rose 3 days later, overcoming sin and death for us. Those who have trusted in God's objective truth about the Son, his eternality, he's God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, his incarnation, God the Son became a man, his sinless life, His crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, his current intercession praying us home, his second coming where he will judge the living and the dead. He who has the Son. And by the way, not just believing this intellectually, not just with your head, but also with your heart and your will. It's somebody who has been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, who has been given the gift of faith to be able to repent of his or her sins and to place his or her faith and trust in Christ alone. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. How do you know that? Because God says that. And God says, he who has the Son, who believes what God has said about his Son, and who has repented of his sins and places faith and trust in his Son. God makes it very clear. You have life. John says, I write these things so that you may know that you have it. Right? I mean, go to Hebrews chapter 7. Again, let's look at objective assurance. Look at verse 25. Therefore he, Christ, our great high priest, who offered himself once for all as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, who continues to pray for us in heaven, his intercession. Therefore he, Christ, is able also to save what? Forever those who draw near to God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see God's objective truth here? Can you be assured of your salvation? Well, sure. Again, look what God says about the assurance of your salvation. And look what Christ did, right? While here on earth, look what Christ is doing now in heaven. He always lives to intercede for us, right? He's praying for us. He's praying us home. Now, what is he praying? You guys know, we've looked at this 1,000 times. Go to John 17. Look what he's praying. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, the elect. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, be with me where I am. Where's Jesus right now? In heaven. What is he praying? What is his ministry of intercession right now? What is he praying? Father, I want Tim to be where I am so he may see my glory, which you've given me. Tim, let me ask you a question. Is the Father going to go, nah. Michelle, yeah. Tim, nah. But Father, I paid for Tim's sin. Yeah, but nah. What? Do you see it? I mean, do you see God's objective truth? Is it presumptuous to believe God's truth? No, it's foolish to not believe God's truth. It's calling God a liar. I'm not assured of my salvation because of anything great in me. I'm assured of my salvation because of everything great in God. God who had elected me before the foundation of time. Christ who redeemed me at the cross 2,000 years ago. God the Holy Spirit who regenerated me and made me alive. I'm a new creation in Christ. He has sealed me. And here I am. I have God's objective truth. And I read this in page after page. God says you can be assured of your salvation. Stay in John. Go to John 10 real quick. I don't know. Does Jesus want you to be assured of your salvation? Let's see. Verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. By the way, we know he said earlier in verse 11 and verse 14, he laid down his life for the sheep, not for everybody. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. And he said, my sheep, verse 27, hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life to them. Finish the sentence. They'll never perish. Jesus says, no one can snatch him out of my hand. Guys, what is Jesus giving us right here? Assurance of salvation. Unless, of course, you think he's not telling the truth. Unless, of course, you think that you're more powerful than he is. that somehow, some way, you can snatch yourself out of his hand and lose your salvation. Or that somehow, some way, Satan can pull you out of his hand. Are you kidding me? Well, look what he says in verse 29. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Well, that's some good assurance right there, right? And so, God does not want us, his children, who have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, God doesn't want us to lack assurance of our salvation. He wants us to be assured. And one of the ways you can be assured of your salvation is through God's objective truth. What does God say about it? Is it pretty clear? But there's a second way you can be assured. Subjective assurance. What do I mean by that? Well, is there evidence that you're saved? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 14. All who are led by the Spirit of God, these, chapter 8, verse 14. I'm sorry, you all looked at me. Okay. At one time, you all went like this. You were here, and you all just went like this, like just staring at me. I looked up. Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 8, verse 14. All right. You want to know if you're saved or not? Well, look what Scripture says. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Is the Holy Spirit leading you? Well, how do I know that? Well, do you have a hunger for that which the Holy Spirit inspired? Well, you guys do because you're on Zoom right now, right? Do you have a hunger, a deep desire to not just read the Word of God, but to worship your holy God? Do you have a deep desire to live a holy life before your God? You have a deep desire to deny yourself and say yes to Christ. You have a deep desire to fulfill his desires. You have a deep desire to bring glory to his name. Hello? Where did that come from? God, the Holy Spirit, regenerated you, made you alive in the spiritual realm. You're a new creation in Christ. Which means you have a new mind, a new heart, a new will. You have new desires before the Holy Spirit had regenerated you. Did you desire to read the Word of God? No. It was all Greek to you. Now you guys are actually studying a lot in the Greek. You're interested in it, right? Right? You had no desire to read the Word of God. You had no desire to worship God. You had no desire to submit to God. You had no desire to deny self and to live for God. Wait a second, what happened? This is who you used to be. This is how you used to be. And this is who you are now and how you are now. What happened? Verse 14. The Holy Spirit regenerated you. The Holy Spirit now leads you. This is subjective evidence that you're a child of God. This is who I used to be. How in the world am I? Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? And so again, how can we be assured of our salvation? You can have objective assurance. What does God say about the assurance of your salvation? And you can have subjective assurance. You see evidence that you're in Christ. You see evidence that you're a born-again believer, right? Something is vastly different. You're a new creation. That came from God. Right? Go to Galatians chapter 5. More of the subjective assurance. Galatians chapter 5. Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is a true born-again believer. Verses 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, love for God, love for others. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see evidence in your life that you are manifesting this fruit? By the way, it's not fruits, it's fruit, okay, of the Spirit. Do you see evidence that, man, again, we're not going to be perfect, but nevertheless, there you should see this fruit being manifest. That's subjective assurance. You go, yeah, that's of the Holy Spirit, because look who you used to be. Just hop up to verse 19. The deeds of the flesh, the sin nature, a non-believer, well, they're evidence. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing any of those things right now? No? Well, Tim, why? I mean, Kresho, your life, is it reflecting more of the deeds of the sin nature or the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Wait a second. 15 years ago, if I'd asked you the same question, what kind of fruit was your life bearing? Sin nature, right? There wasn't any fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if there was a little, like, something of that came out, it was not from the Holy Spirit. It was your sin nature, because you were just looking to get something to satisfy you. And that's why you demonstrated some kindness and some gentleness and some love and some patience. You all know what I'm talking about, right? So again, you look at your life and you go, now, let me just be clear here. Subjective assurance should never trump God's objective truth, right? We look at God's objective truth and we run our subjective assurance through the grid of that, right? Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, I've always believed in God. No, you haven't. I've always felt a closeness with God. No, you haven't. I've always talked with God. Yeah, and I grew up as an only child, and I had an imaginary brother, and I talked to him. Was he really in existence? No. And so when you hear people say that, I've always felt God, they are trying to assure themselves of a relationship with God simply based on subjective feelings that are not run through the grid of God's objective truth. Do you see it? What does it mean to feel God? Well, I don't know. It's just I feel this. I just feel this connection. All right. Explain it to me in here. Well, I've never opened this before. Do you see? And one last thing. Subjective assurance. You guys are going to love this one. How can you have assurance subjectively of your salvation? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. My son, do not regard lightly the what of the Lord? Discipline of the Lord. And don't faint. And when you're being reproved by him, Michelle, those whom the Lord loves, Kresho, he disciplines. And he scourges, Tim, every son whom he receives. Whoa. One of the ways, subjectively, that you can be assured of your salvation, are you experiencing discipline from the Lord? It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father did not discipline? But if you are without discipline from God, of which we've all become partakers, then guess what? You're illegitimate children. You're not a child of God. How great is that? Huh? So can you be assured of your salvation? Absolutely. That's not presumptuous. That's not arrogant. Because you first trust in God's objective truth, what he says about assurance of salvation, and then you look for subjective evidence by the Holy Spirit that you're truly a child of God. Are you being led by the Spirit? Do you have a desire for the things of the Spirit? Number two, are you bearing fruit of the Spirit? And number three, are you experiencing discipline from the Lord? Because the Lord only disciplines those who are his children, right? Because he's making us more and more like Christ, preparing us for the wedding day as the bride of Christ. Are you guys assured of your salvation? You don't have, it's not a guessing game. You can have objective assurance. You can have subjective assurance. And oh, by the way, notice none of this assurance comes by you or by me. It's all assurance from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If our holy, eternal, majestic, awesome, triune God says you can be assured of your salvation, hello, you can be assured of your salvation, Christian. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.